Richie's going to come, and I don't think you're just speaking to the kids, really, though, are you, Richie? The adults can listen as well? Kids big and small, young and old. Any other categories? No, that's okay. That's okay. Okay.
Kids, we've got a couple of kids down here. Good to see you guys. Come on down, kids. Have we got any others out there? Have we got any more? Here comes another one. Great. Good on you, Sarah and Vicky. Excellent. Oh, here we go. We've got a few more coming down. Excellent. Good. Come on down. Good to see you guys. How you going? Who's enjoying being on school holidays? Yeah. School holidays. Awesome. All right. Now, I've got a question for you. Who likes animals? Yeah, I've got a few animal lovers in the house. Excellent. Okay. So if you love your animals, do you know what sounds different animals make? Do you reckon you know some different sounds that animals make? All right, well, we're going to give you a little test. Jono's going to play a sound for us. See if you can work out what animal it is. Oh, maybe play that one again for us. What's that? Okay. Oh, nice. That's an outstanding comeback. Okay, no, not Sarah. Good try. Anyone else? Dave? A sheep. Yes, did you get that? You can say sheep. Good one. Okay, let's try another one. Ooh, Elijah, you know that one? An elephant, yes. No more comments from that side, please. An elephant. Okay, good. We're going well. Next one. Yep, what's that one? Horse. Yes. We're 3 from 3 so far. Very good. Another one, Jono. Oh, what do you think that one is? What is it? A duck. Yes. Well done. Quack, quack. Elijah's doing a great impersonation. All right. We got one more? One more before the all-important one. Okay, listen. Meow. Do you know what that one is? No? You do? What? Sorry? A walrus? Not quite. We might play that one again. Meow. A cat. Yes, it's a pussycat. Okay, now. We've got the next sound is of an animal, and you may not have heard it quite so often as the other ones. We'll see if you can work out what it is, but it's all to do with what we're going to talk about today. So, Jono, you got that one right? You guys know what it is. Someone who doesn't know necessarily what it is. Pig? Not quite. Close. Does sound a bit like a pig, though. Good try. But let's try that one again. Anyone? Yep. A donkey. Yes. That's a donkey. Let's play that one again, Jono. That's what a donkey sounds like. Have you heard that before? They sound a bit funny, don't they? Yes. And today, we're talking all about Palm Sunday. And there's a donkey in our story today. There's a donkey in a few stories in the Bible. And we've got a little video that Jono's going to put up on the screen for us. And it's all about what today's about. And then after we watch the video, we're going to have a bit of fun and do something a little bit different. So thanks, Jono, if you can play that.
God's Story, Palm Sunday.
Okay, cool. That's a fun video, hey? That's the story all about Palm Sunday. And guess what? We're going to have a bit of fun now. Does anyone like dressing up and playing dress-ups at home? A couple, there's a few adults put their hand up. Okay, excellent. Very good. Well, we're going to reenact that story. We're going to have a bit of fun. We're going to get dressed up and we're going to reenact that story. You guys are going to be in the story. Is that going to be fun? Gee, don't sound too enthusiastic. Is it going to be fun?
Yeah!
Oh, that's better. Awesome. Okay, so Donnie, you good to help us out? Donnie's going to come. He's going to read through the passage from the Bible. We're going to use a bit of Matthew and a little bit of Luke, and we're going to get dressed up. Awesome. All right. Fire away, Donnie. We've got it up on the screen as well for everyone to follow along.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. So I'll stop as we go.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop. We're going to have to get volunteers. We're going to have to get dressed up. We're going to reenact this story.
All right. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem.
Okay, so we need to stop right there. We need someone who wants to be Jesus. Joey, you could be Jesus. Sure, why not? Come on up. Let's find a costume for Jesus. All right, here we go. We need a couple of disciples. They can come up as well. If you want to be a disciple, come on up. Two disciples, awesome, great. Here we go, just put some robes over you because you're disciples and that's kind of what they wore back in the day. Sure, it looked something like that for sure. There we go. Okay, we've got a couple of disciples. Donnie, what happens next?
They came to the town of Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead a village over there. And he said, as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied up there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them.
Okay, we'll pause there. So there is a sign on the door over there that says village. So that must be where the village is. The question is, are we going to find a donkey? So the two disciples need to go ahead to the village and see if they can find a donkey. Oh, what do you know? There is a donkey. Okay, donkey, if you can bring the donkey over here, disciples, that would be fantastic. Try not to be too hard on the donkeys. Oh, he's a stubborn donkey. Watch out. Can I just borrow your microphone, donkey? We need to make sure. Is it a real donkey?
Oh,
it is a real donkey. Excellent. Okay. So far, so good. We have Jesus, we have two disciples. They've found the donkey off in the village. What happens next, Donnie?
This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on the donkey's colt.
Okay, so he's going to come riding on the donkey. You think you're going to be able to ride the donkey? All aboard. Excellent. Okay, he's a nice soft donkey. If you just pat him gently, he'll be nice, I'm sure. Okay, he's a good donkey. Okay, so when the donkey comes into Jerusalem, we need some extra people to be cheering. We're going to need someone to be a Pharisee or maybe two. We've even got a setup for someone to be a centurion looking on. And, of course, all good centurions come from New South Wales. We all know that. Okay. Would anyone like to be a centurion or another disciple? You can't be Jesus and a centurion. Anyone want to be a centurion, disciple, or a Pharisee? It works way better if you guys get involved. Anyone? Any adults want to be involved and be a centurion or a Pharisee or a disciple? Anybody? Die. Good on you, Die. Yay! Woo-hoo. What would you like to be? Would you like to be a centurion, a Pharisee, or a disciple? Centurion?
She looks like a tough New South Wales centurion to me.
Well, we all know centurions need to wear their little cape. Superwoman in this case.
I thought centurion started with a C.
It does.
Yeah, that's got an S.
Well, okay, it's phonetic. Okay, excellent, we have a centurion. Anyone for to be a disciple or a... Oh, the sword, of course. What's a centurion without the sword? There you go. Lucky you. Watch out. I'm a bit scared. Okay, come on, anyone, disciples, come on, you can do it. The Pharisees get to wear cool masks. Anyone want to wear a cool mask? Okay, so we've got a Pharisee. Okay, I think we've got enough characters to make the story work now. Let's keep going.
The two disciples did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and they threw their garments over him, and he sat on it.
Oh, okay, sorry. We've got to step ahead. Jesus, you're going to have to hop off. Okay, so the disciples, they came up, and they got the donkey, and they threw their garments on the donkey. So just grab a couple of garments. That's it. Put it on the donkey. This was very special. They were... You hang on to yours, we'll use yours a bit later too. Okay, so they put their garments on the donkey, and Jesus hopped on. There he goes, he's good, he's a happy donkey. Okay, excellent. Right, I think we're right to keep going.
Right, most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, okay. And others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road.
So the others, right, they put their garments on the road for the donkey to ride on. So come and put your garment down here. We can even grab a couple of palms. This is where the palms come into it. That's it. So we're going to come and grab a palm. We're going to put it down on the road here. We'll get the donkey to come up over the... Because that'll probably be a bit easier on the donkey's legs and knees. So come and put some palms up over here for the donkey to go on. Up here, guys. Up here. Up here. Bring some up here. That's good. Great. Keep going. All right. So they spread palms out on the road. That's great. Okay. We're going to use them all. Excellent. Okay, great. Just put them along there. That's great. So maybe some over here. Okay, we're good to go. Keep going.
Very good. Jesus is in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest of heaven."
Okay, so we're going to ask Jesus and the donkey to come here, and all the disciples were gathering around saying, "Praise God! Hosanna! Praise God for the Son of David as he's coming in." So there's this big uproar. Here comes Jesus coming in.
Yeah!
Praise God, Jesus!
Yeah!
The Son of David. Blessings on the one.
Hosanna!
Who comes
Hosanna!
In the name of the Lord.
Woohoo!
Right. So
yay!
Excellent.
Hosanna!
So big fanfare as Jesus was coming into the city. Everyone was going nuts saying, "Oh, this is the Messiah. He's the one that's coming to save us." They're praising him. Okay, keep going.
The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as they entered. "Who is this?" they asked.
That's right.
But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." And he replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers."
Okay.
But as he came...
Well, we'll just pause there. So the Pharisees, they weren't real happy. They're saying, "What's going on? Who is this guy? Why are all the people praising him?" And the Pharisees were saying, "Stop these people from doing this. What are they doing? This isn't right." And so Jesus said, do you remember what Jesus said? If they stopped crying out, then the stones and the rocks beside the road would be crying out instead. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Okay, we'll keep going.
But the Pharisees of the crowd among them said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers." Sorry, I did that bit. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep.
Now, so Jesus started crying. Can you remember from the video why Jesus started crying? Yeah, the people saying, "Stop it," and they didn't recognize who Jesus was. Keep going, Donnie.
"How I wish today that all the people would understand the way to peace. You did not recognize it when God visited you."
They didn't recognize when God visited. And that's what made Jesus upset. Even though they started out being all really happy, there were people that didn't recognize who he was and why he had come. And so that made him a bit sad. But even though he was a bit sad, as the story said, it is still a happy occasion because Jesus came and this is his coming and the start of what we talk about at Easter. Okay, thank you everyone for being involved. Let's give them all a round of a hand. Thank you to Andrew for kindly agreeing to be our donkey. Excellent donkey. You can hop off now, sweetheart. I think today, people out there still don't recognize who Jesus is and why he came. And that probably still makes God a bit sad, I think. But we can do something. We can pray for those people who still don't recognize who Jesus is or why he came. I was wondering if any of you guys might like to pray for the people that still don't recognize who Jesus is. Would anyone like to do that? Go, Dave. So we're going to pray for the people that still don't know who Jesus is or why he came. Let's close our eyes and pray.
Dear Lord, please help the people that don't already know you and don't recognize you to be able to recognize you. Amen.
Amen. Excellent.
Come here, buddy. We'll just pray for you as we give you the mic. And we'll pray for that mic too, I think. Richie had a bit of fun with it. Father God, thank you for Andy. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for his story and your story in and through him. Lord, I pray that you would fill him anew with your Holy Spirit as he speaks in and through to us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just pray with this mic that it'll be completely clear and working brilliantly. In your name. Amen.
Amen. Are we allowed to pray for technology?
Oh, I do all the time. You see the cars I drive.
Yeah, well, not sure we can pay for Microsoft, though. But, it's really great to be here. It's been a fantastic church to come and visit from time to time. And I just want to thank you so much for the support you've given not to me, but to the poor around the world, the poor and suffering around the world. I see on the back notice board you've got a thing there for the Middle East appeal. And sadly, Syria has been in the news this last week or two for all the wrong reasons. And sadly, it's often the children and women that suffer the most. But can I give you some good news out of there? The money that we collect from you for Syria, the Syrian or the Middle East, goes to the Lebanese Baptist Convention. That's our partner over in Lebanon. Who knew that there was a Lebanese Baptist Convention? Yeah, they're doing great guns. The Australian Baptists have been supporting the Lebanese Baptists for a long time. Now, the Lebanese Baptists have been reaching out to the Syrian refugees with unconditional love. They've been offering them medical support, schooling for their kids, all those sorts of things. They don't have to go to Bible studies or anything like that, but they've just been reaching out in love. But as a flow-on effect, one of our Baptist churches over there has grown from 7 to 700 members as they've been reaching out to their in love. And another one of the Baptist churches has got a school of Syrian children with 500 children in it. And it's just been fantastic what our what God has been doing through this horrible situation, absolutely, you know, disgusting situation. God's been doing great things. So continue to pray for the Middle East and continue to be there. Is the box on the back table? There's a collection box there, and if you chuck all your coins and things in there, we'll send that money to the Middle East. Okay. It's great to be here, and it's great to be here when the kids have actually preached my sermon for me with the palm leaves. It's fantastic. Now, I've been going to Baptist churches since I was about 2 weeks old. I'm one of those dyed-in-the-wool Baptists who've been going to Baptist churches all my life. And I don't know how many times I've seen palm leaves spread all over the church floor as kids have done the Palm Sunday thing. Now, this true story, when I was doing this story at RI in one school, in my class was a girl named Anna. And everybody was wondering why we wanted to hose Anna. And true story. You know the way kids hear things, you know, the average school kid's got no idea what Hosanna means, and so Hosanna, which is really great. This is one of those regular events we do in church, and sometimes we get so caught up in the palm leaves and the and that we forget to think about why is this in the Bible? What's it all about? What is the events? And there's actually two events that happen on Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. Two events that have got deep meaning for who Jesus is and why he came. So we're not going to so much look at the story, although we'll look at the story, but we're going to actually think about why they're there and what it all signifies. So the two big events are the triumphal entry, which is what we call it that bit, and the other bit is the cleansing of the temple. Sometimes we don't talk about that bit too much, but we should. They are two related events that give us a picture of the kingdom that Jesus was just about to start. Now, to understand this, you actually got to go back to those wonderful verses, those first 17 verses of Matthew that we all love so much and have all starts off, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob, etc. I could go on, but that would be just showing off. Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And that's what these two events are about. The triumphal entry, the son of David, the cleansing of the temple as the son of Abraham. So, starts off, and we saw all this before, the new David enters town. The new David comes riding in on a donkey. All those people who were laying down their coats, all those people who were putting down the branches, what were they expecting? Well, they were expecting a military leader who was going to come in and kick those nasty Romans out. Get rid of those Romans because they hated the Romans. They hated living under the oppression of the Roman Empire. They wanted to get rid of that. They wanted a new David to come, sit on the throne, rule so that the Jews would be the centre of the universe again and everyone would have to come to them and to come to them. That'd be great. That's what they wanted. Jesus was indeed coming as a king. But he had far bigger enemies to defeat than the Romans. Jesus was coming in to defeat the biggest enemies we human beings had. He was coming in to defeat death. He was coming in to defeat sin, so that we could be reconciled again to God. But as so often happens, we human beings focus on the wrong kingdom. The people then were focused on the Romans, focused on that particular problem, focused on the kingdom here, when they should have been focusing on a much bigger kingdom. See, we do the same, don't we? We get all tied up with cars, you know, the car that breaks down, with finance, we get tied up with all of these things when we should be concerned about the bigger kingdom. We do that. Now, the next bit, after he finishes riding in on the donkey, a little bit further down in Matthew 21, we have these words in Matthew 21, verse 12. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Now, to understand what's going on here, we need to understand how the temple was laid out. Inside the temple, there was this building there that had the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. That was the centre of the whole deal. And then outside that was a courtyard that only priests could go into. It had the altar and all those things where the burnt sacrifices was. Outside that was the court of the women. And that's as far as Jewish women were allowed to go, to the court of women. And then right around the outside of all that was a place called the court of the Gentiles. Now, the court of the Gentiles wasn't just for Gentiles, but that's as far as they could get. That was as close as they could get to God, was the court of the Gentiles. Inside this, and it was massive, inside this massive courtyard, normally this is where people would teach, this is where people would discuss, this is where people would meet and pray. And so when Jesus is 8 days old and he comes into the temple and meets Anna and Simeon, that was in the court of the Gentiles. That's where that bit happened. And so that's what it was used for. And we see after Jesus goes, the disciples used to meet there as well and discuss things and meet. So that's what it was normally used for. It was normally used for good purposes. Except when we come close to Passover. When we come close to Passover, several hundred thousand Jews from all over the world converged on Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And all good Jews needed a few things when they arrived in Jerusalem. First of all, they needed half a shekel, because they needed half a shekel to pay their temple tax. Now, where are you going to get half a shekel from? The only people that ever used shekels were the Jews in Jerusalem. Everybody used either Greek drachmas or Roman denarii. You couldn't pay your temple tax in drachmas. The Pharisees wouldn't let you. You had to go to a money changer with your drachmas or your denarii and change it for a shekel. And what usually happened was the two of you got together so that you got one shekel and you both paid your temple tax with a shekel. Now, money changers, they've got to make a profit, haven't they? You know, you can't just do this out of the goodness of your heart. You've got to make a bit of a profit. And, you know, young Jacob over there, he's got a bit of an issue, so we need to make a little bit extra so that we can help young Jacob out. So we make sure we make a good profit on our money changing. That's one thing. You needed half a shekel. Another thing you needed was a sacrifice, because you hadn't been to the temple for so long. You needed a sacrifice for your sin offering. And you needed a couple of doves or a couple of pigeons for that. So you needed that. And then because it's Passover, you needed a third thing. You needed a lamb. You needed a lamb without spot or blemish so that you could have a nice feast, have a nice party with roast lamb. And when I was so tempted when they were talking about the lambs before. Yeah, I love lambs with rosemary and mint, you know. I was so tempted to do that. That's what you needed. You needed those three things when you went to the temple. Now, say you come from Bithynia, you know, a long way away from Jerusalem. Are you going to lug a lamb all the way from Bithynia to Jerusalem? Of course you're not. What you're going to do is when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to buy one. And where are you going to buy one? Well, Pharisees thought of that too. Outside of Bethlehem, in the fields and hills outside of Bethlehem, there was all these shepherds who used to raise sheep for the temple. That's the shepherds that actually first saw Jesus, those ones. And so they'd already met Jesus, by the way, right back when he was eight, when he's just born. Same. Of course, you know, you've got to get your costs back when you sell this lamb. So you would just imagine how many lambs have to be sold. How many pigeons have to be sold? How many shekels have to be changed? And where are they going to do it? Well, they did it in the court of the Gentiles. Just before Passover, the place was packed. And can you imagine? Because you're not just going to pay the price they ask. You're going to bargain with the people. So there's all these people bargaining with the people. There's lambs bleating. There's all of this stuff going on. It was absolute bedlam. If a Gentile wanted to go and pray to God, what was that like for him or her to go into the court of the Gentiles with all of this bedlam? It's hard to pray in that sort of situation. And so Jesus comes in, sees all of this, and he starts turning over the tables. Of course, they didn't have any polymer money back then. It was all coins. So what happens to all the coins as the tables turn? Start to go everywhere. I want you to imagine you're there, and I just turn over the table full of coins and spread them all over. What are you going to do? You're going to go for the coins, aren't you? You're going to go for the money. What's the guy who owns the table going to do? He's going to try and keep all his money back, isn't he? And there starts to be pigeons flying everywhere and there's lambs going everywhere. That's why no one stopped Jesus, because they're all trying to get their goodies back. They're all trying to get the money, which is exactly what went on. And so it was a whole mess. You see, there was promises. David and Abraham. David, it was promised that there was going to be someone on the throne forever. For David, there was three. For Abraham, there was three promises. One was that through him, all the nations of the world were going to be blessed. So when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law filled the court of the Gentiles with all of this stuff, they weren't acting as a blessing to the nations of the world. You know, they were being a curse to the nations of the world. And so this is what Jesus came. This is what on that day, on what you call Palm Sunday, is Jesus showing that, yes, I'm here to fulfill the promises to David. Yes, I'm here to fulfill the promises to Abraham. Through me, I'm going to be sitting on the throne. Not the kingdom that you think about. A better kingdom. A kingdom that's going to truly change things. And through me, all the nations of the world are truly going to be blessed. Here is the temple of God. Not this building. You are the temple of God. You are continuing the ministry that Jesus started this day, how many ever years ago. We are continuing the ministry of Jesus as we build the kingdom of God. We are continuing the ministry of Jesus as we are a blessing to the nations. That's what we're here for. We're here to continue that ministry. Let me give you a couple of practical ways. As I journey around, I see so many people concentrating on the wrong kingdom. We, as Christians, are supposed to chase a different sort of wealth. We are supposed to be building up treasure in heaven. The sort of wealth that we should be building up is a wealth of helping and loving people. That's the sort of wealth we should be building up. You see, everybody in this world, all 7.5 billion people, have been created in God's image just like you and me. There are 7.5 billion people that Jesus died for. They're all important. Remember the song we used to sing as kids, red and yellow, black and white? All are precious in his sight. Indeed, they are. And we are to be a witness for Jesus to a hurting world in both word and deed. In a week, this time next Sunday, we're all going to consume great gobs of chocolate. I particularly like the bunny ears. I like the ears. I mean, that's my favourite bit. The trouble is, there are kids in West Africa who are slaves and going to be picking the chocolate, cocoa, that we are going to enjoy. And those kids never get to taste chocolate. This year, Baptist World Aid is sending postcards to Darryl Lee. Darryl Lee has got no idea where its cocoa comes from. It's not that they're purposely using, chocolate that's been picked by slaves. It's just that they don't know. So we're sending a postcard to Darryl Lee to ask them to learn a little bit more about their supply chain and know where this stuff comes from. There's a stack of these down there. This costs you absolutely nothing. It would normally cost you a stamp in the corner, but if you leave it with us, we'll take care of the postage. Okay, so just showing that and you can do that. This girl here comes from Bangladesh. Now, I could show you some Malawi children to sponsor, except I can't because they're all sponsored. We've actually got full sponsorship in Malawi, which is a great thing. So I've got a Bangladeshi girl here. She's probably a Muslim. What do you think about sponsoring a Muslim child? I want you to think about this. Why is she a Muslim? She is a Muslim because she was born in a Muslim community. Her parents were Muslim. Her grandparents were Muslim. Her great-grandparents were Muslim. Going back generations, she didn't wake up one morning and say, "Oh dear, I think I'll be a Muslim." It was just where she was born. Up until Baptist World Aid's partner went there into the community, she's probably never even met a Christian. We're called to be a blessing to the nations. And if somebody in Australia doesn't sponsor Muslim kids in Bangladesh, they're not going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not going to hear what Jesus came for. So, back in 1980, when I was at South Toowoomba Baptist Church, God called me to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A call that has been on my heart, and still on my heart from now. And I've been doing that for the last 11 years as I minister the gospel and minister the needs of the nations around the world. As we come to the start of this Holy Week, it's easy for us to get all excited and forget the whys that we're here for. It's easy to get all excited about palm leaves. It's easy to get all excited about chocolate. It's easy to... Are you going to really give up chocolate over Easter Sunday? Tough man. Anyway. You're going to save it, aren't you? Save it for later? Okay. You're going to eat it? Wow. You've got someone to eat your chocolate for you, Donnie.
We'll make a deal.
Okay, mate. We're celebrating the most important event in human history this week. This is it. Without this week, we've got nothing. So please, make sure you think about the whys of this and then the consequences of this, and so that you truly do love and follow the ministry of Jesus Christ the way he has called you to do. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the Kiwanis Life Baptist Church. Lord, this is just a great church. This is a church that loves its community. And all that I've said today is just a reminder. It's not really, not really a kick in the pants. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would be with this church. Continue to bless this church as they minister the gospel. And Father, I pray that through this church, many people would come to know you as Saviour, not only here on the Sunshine Coast, but also in places like Malawi and Bangladesh and overseas as well. So, Lord, bless this church. Continue to work with them, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen.